You and I each have a role to play in bringing to reality, in putting flesh on this vision of how the world will be.
Hello, and thanks for choosing to listen to the sermon from Pastor Keith Fry and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. This sermon is from Sunday, February 3rd, 2019. Emmanuel Lutheran Church is a Reconciling in Christ congregation. We welcome people of every age and size, color and culture, every sexual orientation and gender identity, socioeconomic status, every ability and challenge. We welcome believers and questioners and questioning believers. Come join us Sundays at the corner of Sherman and Lake in Evanston. And now, here's Pastor Keith Fry.
And pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Did you follow all the kerfuffle this week about the State of the Union address? There was a lot of very public back and forthing and tit for tatting about whether the speech was going to be given and where it might be given. And President Trump and Speaker Pelosi were locked in a battle over that speech. To be honest, it turns out that the State of the Union address throughout much of our history wasn't even a speech. And pretty universally, State of the Union addresses have yielded precious few memorable lines that have been remembered by history anyway. So I'm not sure what all the hype was about. If you want soaring oratory and stirring words, you have to look to the inaugural address. I always look forward to the speech that the new president or the returning president delivers to the people right after that person has been invested with the powers of the office. It's the closest we Americans come to anointing a king or queen. There's always this sense of that speech as something historic, something that people might quote in years to come. And as we listen to these speeches, there's an expectation that the new president is going to lay out a vision for our collective future in soul-stirring, uplifting words. And there's an expectation that something is going to be demanded of us as a people, usually a call to work together toward the goals of that vision that we're hearing about, a call to sacrifice ourselves and our labor and our time, and yes, usually our money as well. Now, some of the most powerful oratory in our history has come from these inaugural addresses. There was Lincoln's second inaugural, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right. Let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. Or John F. Kennedy's words, "Now the trumpet summons us again, not as a call to bear arms, though arms we need, not as a call to battle, though embattled we are, but a call to bear the burden of a long twilight struggle, year in and year out, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, a struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it, and the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." Last Monday was also a day on which we remembered and honored Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who in that same city gave what amounted to his inaugural address, his I Have a Dream speech. And he quoted the words of the prophets Amos and Isaiah as he outlined a vision of a future in which racial prejudice would be shattered. We will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain and the crooked places will be straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. And when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. We are free at last." Those are soul-stirring words. They're words that call us to live up to our highest calling, to move into action, to come together and strive together, to bring about a vision of a future that is full of hope and promise. And it's interesting, those speeches all borrowed from the words of the biblical prophets to call us back to the vision. They're full of scriptural references. In today's gospel reading, you might say that Jesus is giving his inaugural address. It may not be obvious, but that's what's going on. He's just come from his baptism where God's own Spirit anoints him as God's beloved Son. And he's been in the wilderness where he's been tested. And now he's begun moving around the Galilee region, preaching and teaching in the synagogues in the various towns where he lands. And in Nazareth, where he grew up, he attends the synagogue service. And he's invited to read a portion of Scripture just as Scott stood to read. And he chooses a portion from the prophet Isaiah, and then he preaches on it. Now, when it says he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, that doesn't mean he was finished. Quite the contrary, because in those days, rabbis sat down to teach after they had stood to give honor to God's word. Now, Jesus begins his sermon with a startling statement. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, we Christians hear that as the audacious claim that the prophet's words have come to pass and that Jesus himself is the one whom God has anointed to do these things, that he is in fact the Messiah, the anointed one of God. Now, we don't have the rest of Jesus' sermon, but it must have been very stirring because the gospel goes on to say that when he was done, all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. You'll hear the rest of the story next week. But we can guess that Jesus went on to spell out this amazing vision of good news for the poor and release for captives, and recovery of sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed. And he announces the amazing good news that this new era of God's loving favor, this year of Jubilee, has now arrived. Those words still stir our souls. And we hear them and our hearts are thankful for the ways in which Jesus Christ has brought us good news, has healed us and released us from the things that have kept us captive, has shown us God's love and favor. But we hear these words very personally and individually. We hear Jesus' assertion that he's been anointed by God to do these things, and we hear it as a unique statement about Jesus. I saw a cartoon referring to this passage, and it had two sheep talking to one another about the job description that Jesus gives. And one of the sheep says, well, everybody knows he only got hired because he's the boss's son. But like any good inaugural address, Jesus is not just talking about himself. He's talking to us, and he's talking about us. While we are not the anointed one, we too have had the Spirit of God rest upon us in the anointing of our baptism. We also, not only Jesus, have been anointed to bring good news to the poor. God has anointed us to proclaim release to captives and recovery of sight for the blind. God has given us the responsibility to set the oppressed free and to proclaim to a hungry world that the new era of God's love and blessing for all of humankind is breaking in as we speak. But as Bishop Desmond Tutu says, the good news to a hungry person is bread. Christ is calling us to concrete action. He's stirring us to be something higher and to come together to do amazing things, to have a vision for a future filled with hope for people who are despairing and who have lost their hope. These words are at the very core of what Jesus wants to teach us, at the very heart of what he's calling us to do and to be. And this is the vision that has spurred God's people to action across the millennia. This soul-stirring vision that has drawn people to Christ and to the church. Pastor Don Carlson puts it this way. He says, I'm convinced that few, if any, people joined the early Christian community because they were attracted by some new abstract theology. Nor do I think they were looking for a way to get their sins forgiven so they could get into heaven. I think that they were attracted by a new way of living with others in this world. They were attracted by a new dispensation and new way of doing life with others in Jesus' name. A way of life together that brought hope and healing amid the brokenness and injustice that sin had wrought. They joined because amidst the old tottering kingdoms of the world, they glimpsed in Jesus and his followers that the kingdom of God was at hand. Concrete, down to earth, in the flesh, everyday good news. And that's still what we're called to today. You and me and every single one of us. We're called to help bring about that promise-filled, hopeful future that the prophets and Jesus paint with their words. And not just in Pollyannish platitudes about how wonderful things will be someday in heaven, but in very real and concrete actions in our world for the good of the neighbor and for the building up of the peaceable and just reign of God here and now. Now you may say, Pastor, there's no way I can do all of those things by myself. You're absolutely right. You cannot do it by yourself. But that's why God has placed us here together in community, has made us one body with many different parts and members, and has given you the particular set of gifts that God has entrusted to you. You and I each have a role to play in bringing to reality, in putting flesh on this vision of how the world will be. This is our calling, and it's our duty. I leave you with these questions. What are we as the body of Christ here at Emmanuel doing to bring about this vision? What are the things we will commit to this year to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to captives, and recovery of sight to the blind? What will we commit to let the oppressed go free? How will we, through our words and actions, proclaim this good news of God's love and grace and favor this year of Jubilee? Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Keith. And again, we welcome you to come join us for our Sunday service each week at 10:30. The Emmanuel Lutheran Church is located at the southeast corner of Sherman and Lake in downtown Evanston. Thanks for listening.